Father, we thank you for this awesome time that we can come into the presence of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we thank you for your holy book that you've given us, where you have revealed to us your heart. So as we sang in the song, lead us to your heart. Lead us to your heart, that we would live a life that is according to your heart. Make a David out of each one of us, where that you looked and you searched and you found that he has a heart like yours. Lord, help us to have your love. Help us to walk according to the calling by which we were called. Lord, we pray for a blessing upon your word, empowerment, conviction to our hearts, that it may bring forth fruit into our lives, and that we may look more and more like Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So last week we studied Ephesians 5 until verse 14. So we'll start from verse 15 today. So we're talking about the life of the believer with themselves, and that is that God wants us to have purity. And there's three walks that we are supposed to do, meaning a walk is a type of life, how we should live. And that will show our, and that should reflect in our life. And that will, if we can accomplish that, we'll have a life of purity with ourselves. So the first walk we said is called what? Walk what? Okay, not everyone at once, just take it easy on me. No. But yeah, we're walking in purity. I'll take it. It's good. But show me a verse. Take a verse. Come on. Walk.
In love.
In love. Verse what?
Two,
right? So we are to walk in love. We're supposed to have a life of true, sincere love. What kind of love? Agape type love. God's love. Pure love toward people and toward others. That's going to make us pure with ourselves. The second walk is? So we're supposed to be smelling aroma, but the word walk in a verse somewhere. Help me out. Thank you. What verse is that? Verse 8. The end of it said, walk as children of light. We are supposed to walk as children of light, walk in the light, meaning say, look, I got nothing to hide. I'm proud of the life that I'm living before God with a clear conscience, not with arrogance, okay, but with a clear conscience, and saying I'm walking in the light. And that's the kind of, if a believer can accomplish that, they are living a life of purity with themselves. The third walk is going to be the walk we're going to talk about tonight for the believer to be able to have that life of purity. It's called, in verse 15, walk circumspectly. So are you walking circumspectly? I know you're thinking, of course. Circa who? Right? What's circumspectly? Anyone knows English? Anyone is an English major here? Huh? Carefully, right? So it's actually the word in Greek, it means a lot of things. It's really complex. I really love the way it's written in Arabic. So if you don't know Arabic, you know, you need to learn Arabic. But it says to walk with accuracy, like being like nitpicky. You know, have you ever seen those people that are just like so detailed in everything? Walk with detail. Walk with accuracy. Walk with perfection in your walk. And that's what he wants us to do in our walk. So he says here, but he doesn't say walk circumspectly. He says, see then that you walk circumspectly. What does that mean? It says, have you ever seen someone kind of walking, like, look! And you're like, hey man, we just got comfortable, you know, we're trying to sleep here. And then they wake you up with that kind of talk. He says here, see! Meaning, I need you to focus. I need you to like really pay attention to this. This part is really important. See then that you walk circumspectly. See then that you walk carefully. See then that you walk accurately. You know, I'll tell you kind of a mean story. When I was in high school, I took this electronics class, so I built this gadget. So this gadget is this piece of metal thing. And it has this metal kind of going all around, all like twirled, and I made it all twirly, extra twirly, so it's really like hard. And then you get this other thingy with a little circle, and what you're supposed to do if you're really good, you go with the circle without touching anything, without touching the other metal. But I have a button that goes two ways. One way, if you touch it, there's a red LED light that lights up. So when I do it to demonstrate, I go do the LEDs like, oh, man, the LED light went on. Do you want to try it? And the person's like, yeah, I could do that, man. You got some shaky hands. Then I put it on the shocker. So I put it on the thing that shocks. So they go like that. Then they get all like that. And to me, ha, 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 it's so funny. Thank God he saved me. I was terrible. But here you got to, if you know you're going to get shocked and it's not a trick, how are you going to be doing this thing? You're going to be really, it's going to be like, not let me do it circumspectly. It's going to be, see then that you do it circumspectly. Meaning there's going to be a shock. I'm going to be shocked. I'm going to, you know, my hair, you know, it's got to be nice. So I don't want it to go up from the electrical shock. So you're going to be really, really careful, paying every attention, putting every effort. If someone says, hey, what's up? You don't even hear them. You don't care. Hey, how you doing? Do you want to eat some, you know, and they tell you favorite food. Hey, you want some candy? You want some of this? You don't care. Why? Because you could be shocked because you are in the middle of this ring and you can't let go. Your hand is stuck to it. You got to go all the way to the end. That's exactly what it says here. See then that you walk circumspectly. You know, a lot of people, you know, have teach this thing where they say it's all right. Make mistakes. God is good. God is loving. God, yes, he is. So just make a bunch of mistakes and then you get up and then just go ahead and make some more mistakes and then get up. No, that's a careless life. But here he says, put every single effort to walk circumspectly, to walk a life that is accurate, that is right on the dot, that is a walk where you are trying to walk in a perfect walk. Can anyone walk a perfect walk? No, but we should put every single effort to walk a perfect walk. See then that you walk circumspectly. You know, what's the shortest? I know you guys are so smart, you know. What's the shortest way between point A and point B? A straight line. Now, Israel, when they came out of Egypt, they wanted to go to their promised land. And so as they're going to their promised land, do you guys know how long it took them to get to their promised land? 40 years. Okay, if you wanted to go to visit Egypt right now, in the very peaceful land of Egypt, you go over there, and then you want to go to the other peaceful land of Israel, and you want to take a walk to over there, how long is it going to take you? And you're just going to take a walk only. Huh? A week, a month. If you're really slow, like, you know, take a few steps and then kind of like, and then take a few more steps, and it took them 40 years. That's not walking circumspectly. It says God made them get lost because of their stubbornness, their evil heart that they had. It's really important that we get from point A to point B. But what's really even more important is how do we do it? How do we get there? The closest and the shortest distance is a straight line. You know, there's some people that go at a, the Lord takes them at a very young age. Guy who's really dear to my heart, Magdi Samuel, he went to be with the Lord, I believe he was 42, a couple of years ago, and he went to be with the Lord, but this guy, from the day he became a believer, he walked circumspectly. And when his few years as a believer, the amount of he wasted time, I don't think he had any. He was on task to fulfill what God wanted of him. So after his few years in Christ, God says, come home. Come home. Well done. Well done. How long does it take? I looked and I said, man, you know, it would take me, you know, my life and then some. And I wouldn't even accomplish the kind of life. And so that's what God wants to do. See then that you walk circumspectly. Do you have a plan? Do you have a plan?
Oh, you know, I kind of like, you know. You know, it's like, you know,
really?
Well, you know, I wake up, you know. Really? You wake up? That's good. And then, you know, it's like, what are you going to do tomorrow? Operation Christmas Child.
That's at 3.
What are you going to do?
3? That's early. What, you want me to get here before 3? I'm just barely going to be getting up, waking up. You have a plan or no?
What do you mean? You want me to plan my life and do that? Haven't you read James, brother? Haven't you read James chapter 4? Let's see what James chapter 4 says. James chapter 4, verse 13. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit. I have a plan. It's a business plan. I'm going to leave this place. I'm going to that other place. I have a business plan. It's all planned out. I'm going to go and I'm going to spend there a specific amount of time and I'm going to make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. You're crazy. You don't know what's going to happen to you tomorrow. For what is your life? You know what your life is? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. You know, if you see vapor, are you like, oh man, this is going to take long. It's gone. It's like seconds, you know, minutes max if it's a really strong vapor, and then it's gone away. That's your life. By the way, I'm going to pause for a second. Do you know? Do you know? I'm sure you know it. But do you know that you are not invincible? Do you know that one day you and I will die? Really? Your life is but a vapor, and it's going to pass like that. Question is, do you know what will happen to you after you die? Do you know where you will go after you die? That's a really important question, because some people will be like, they think it's humility. They say, well, you know, if God wills, and hopefully, you know. No. Do you have assurance of where you are going after you die or not? Well, I'm not sure. Oh, I'm going to hell. Really? That's not funny. That is your eternal life. You're going to spend forever there. You can't get out of forever. And it's either hell or heaven. There's no in between. Do you know where you're going to go? And so James says that your life is a vapor. It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills. So he's saying, yes, plan. But plan in the right way. Plan in the way where you have God in mind in your plans. If the Lord wills. And yes, you can plan business. You can plan all this stuff. If the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. But see, if he wills, if he doesn't, then I'll change it. It's not a big deal. But now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. It's evil when you do your plans without God in mind. I'll show you a couple of examples of this planning. It's really important that we have a plan. It's really important that we plan, but plan and make it tentative. Make the plan tentative, allowing God to change it and do whatever he wants. For example, 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Verse 5, Paul had a plan, and he wanted to go see these Corinthians. And so in verse 5, he says, now I will come to you when I pass through Macedonia. My plan is I'm going to come to you, but I'm going to first pass through Macedonia. So where's he going first, Corinth or Macedonia? Macedonia, and then he's going to go to Corinth. For I am passing through Macedonia. The word I'm passing through Macedonia, it's a systematic way that I'm going to go in order, because I like to not skip a city, because I want to, you know, share the gospel everywhere I'm going. And it may be that I will remain or even spend the winter with you, that you may send me on my journey wherever I go. And then he started telling them, by the way, you know, it sounds like my plan is so concrete. It's not. And that's why he says, it may be. I'm not sure, you know. God may change my plan, but it may be that I will remain. Maybe I'm just going to come and hang out with you guys for a little bit. You guys are on my heart. I love you guys so much. I want to spend some time with you. Or even spend the winter with you. I want to spend some months with you guys, not just a little bit of time. Or that you may send me on my journey. I want to be blessed by you guys and just have that blessing that you are sending me on my journey wherever I go. For I do not wish to see you now on the way, but I hope, again, the word hope, he's not making a concrete plan. I hope, but he has a plan. I hope to stay a while with you if the Lord permits. Again, the Lord permits. I don't know. He may change my plan. But my plan right now is, go to Macedonia, come to you guys, spend some time with you guys, maybe a winter, maybe a little bit of time, hang out, and then go. Did it happen? No. God changed his plan. Did he get frustrated?
No, he just flows with it. But when God changed that plan, what did he do? He made another plan. What's the second plan? 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. And in this confidence, I intended to come to you before. That's what I wanted to do. I wanted to come to you before. That you might have a second benefit. To pass by way of you to Macedonia. So his second plan is what? What's plan B? Where is he going first? Corinth or Macedonia first? Let me read again. To pass by way of you to Macedonia. Huh? What? Corinth. Thank you. Corinth, by way of you. So I pass by you to Macedonia. Right? English is my second language, but I get it. So by way of you to Macedonia. So here he's saying, I'm going to come to you guys first. Then I'm going to go to Macedonia. Then to come again from Macedonia to you. And be helped by you on my way to Judea. I want you guys to help me on my way to Judea. And so the second plan was, okay, never mind. I'm going to come to you guys first. Then I'm going to go to Macedonia. Then I'm going to come back to you guys. And then the plan is that I want to end up in Judea. And you guys know what happened? This didn't happen either. There was plan C. He went to Troas. And then he went to Macedonia. Actually, he went to Corinth real quick, then Troas, then Macedonia. And then his whole plan got changed around. Well, did he get frustrated? No. But did he have a plan? No. Do you have a plan in your life? I'm talking about an eternal plan. A plan with God in mind, in what he wants of you. Are you walking circumspectly? Are you walking accurately? Are you walking right on the dot? Are you walking, you know, saying, Lord, I want that shortest distance. I don't want to waste my life waking up doing like these Israelites. You know, the Israelites, 40 years, how much of that desert really can they have? I'm sure they've seen like, got one of those guys, I'll tell you in an American way, all right? So one guy's passing by like, dude, I think I've seen that rock before, man. Dude, that's weird. I carved my name on it, man. I see my name. Someone carved my name on it, man. Dude. They've been going in circles for 40 years, not accomplishing anything. Some of us may live for 80 years, have been in Christ since age 20, for 60 years in Christ. Dude, I think, and we don't know the ABCs of godliness. We still are not able to receive solid food, still drinking milk. Do you have a plan? Is God ruling? Is God controlling your life? Are you going the short route or are you still going around in circles? Am I going around in circles? Last thing I'll share with you about this area in Romans 15. Romans 15 and verse 22. For this reason, I also have been much hindered from coming to you. How much hindered? Much hindered. Meaning every time, man, he's like, I want to go to Rome. Nope. I want to go to Rome. Nope. I want to go to Rome. God keeps saying, no, 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 no. And he's been much hindered. And then he says, but now no longer. That's it. I don't have to be hindered anymore. Why, Paul? Having a place in these parts and no longer having a place in these parts, in this area. I'll tell you what these parts means in a minute. And having a great desire these many years to come to you. He had to have his plan changed by God for many years. Many years God changed his plans. And he has a great desire and he's not upset. Has God ever changed your plan? Exit out a little bit or just a slight deviation. What do? Nervous breakdown, a temper tantrum. Many years. And how many times did he want to go there? Hindered many times. Is he frustrated? No. He says, God, I know you have a plan and your plan is good. What was God's plan? Well, God's plan was to reach the whole world. And who did he use for that? Paul. Look at what he did in verse, I'll read you in 19. In mighty signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about to Illyricum. He went all the way from Jerusalem to Illyricum. I had took it all around, the whole area. He didn't skip a spot. He preached, he reached the whole world. I have fully, not partly, fully preached the gospel of Christ. Do you know how much land he covered? 14,000 miles. The pastor last night was sharing something that he said made him cry. And when I heard it, man, it hit home a lot with me. One time, someone, he kind of said it in between the lines because he's very humble. But, you know, one time this person told him, wow, pastor, you labor a lot for the Lord. And it made him cry because he realized the kind of ministry that Jesus did and the kind of ministry that Paul did. And he's like, I don't labor. That's not called labor, what I do. The reason these people said he labors is because he goes to work, comes back from work, takes his car, drives to the train station, parks his car at the train station, takes the train for 2-3 hours to this city in Upper Egypt, and then goes over there. Another person picks him up from that place in his car, takes him to the meeting place. He goes and preaches, encourages people, talks to them afterward. The person drives him back to the train, takes the train 2-3 hours back. His car is right there. He takes it, goes home and sleeps, and then the next day works in the same thing. And they're like, wow, you labor. And he started crying. He says, labor? He says, the train is air-conditioned. The train is air-conditioned. Have you seen what Paul has been through? Have you seen? And then I'll share it with you guys. It's so amazing. 2 Corinthians. Chapter 6. Verse 4. But in all things, we commend ourselves as ministers of God. Meaning, Paul is saying that I don't give people excuses to blame the ministry. I do it and I try to do it walk circumspectly, walk in a perfect walk. What kind of life is he living in? He says that in much patience, in tribulations, in needs, in distresses, these are all plurals, these are all sufferings on the outside, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in sleeplessness, in fastings. All these, and the pastor was saying, man, none of these things we go through it as the people that preach. They're like, tumults? There's no tumults. There's not a whole city uproaring against the pastor. By purity, by knowledge, by long suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Spirit, by sincere love, and so on and so forth. Paul went all the way, 14,000 miles, and he says, fully preached the gospel. Does that mean he like reached every single individual in the area? No. But he went and he got the whole region, and he shared everywhere that where he can go, because God had a plan for him. It's actually a fulfillment of a prophecy in Isaiah. But as it is written, to whom he was not announced, they shall see. And those who have not heard shall understand. And God used Paul to fulfill that, to reach out to all these that have never heard. And then he says, for this reason, I've been hindered much from coming to you. But now no longer having a place in these parts. 14,000 miles covered. Now my desire can be fulfilled that has been put on hold for years, that I may come and enjoy you, Romans. But now no longer having a great desire these many years to come to you. Whenever I journey to Spain, I will come to you. Again, he has another plan. His plan is to get to Spain, but on the way to Spain to stop in Rome. To come to you, for I hope to see you on my journey and to be helped on my way there by you. If I may enjoy your company for a while. I just want to enjoy being with you. I want to enjoy your presence. I want to enjoy hanging out. Man, I wish, could Paul ever say he would do that? You know, if I was there in those days, would he ever want to hang out with me? Man, that would be awesome. But now I am going to Jerusalem to minister to the saints. And if you study the history, people study history outside the Bible, they say that Paul, they think, never made it to Spain. Again, plan changed again. But he's all right. I have a plan, and God keeps changing his plans. He still keeps making them. And it's in God's will that he does that. You know, and in Acts chapter 16. I'll read with you a couple of verses. Acts 16. See, they have the clock wrong, so now I can go as long as I want. You guys are in trouble. So, in verse 6, it says, "Now when they had gone through Phrygia," that's Paul and the people with him, "and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia." The Holy Spirit, don't preach the word here. "After they had come to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them." So the first place, he says, don't speak. The second place, he says, don't go to this place. But then what happened? "So passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, 'Come over to Macedonia and help us.'" This guy in Macedonia is like, hey, in the dream, he's like, hey, I plead with you. I beg you, man, come and help us. "Now after he had seen the vision," what happened? He's like, oh, the Holy Spirit says, "Be quiet, it's killing me, but I can't speak. The Holy Spirit says, 'Don't go,' it's killing me, but I can't go. Now this, I see God is speaking to me through this man in the vision, and he says, 'Come and help us.' So seeing the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them." This is God, and he wants us to go there. That's their conclusion, that God has called them to do that. So what did they do? Immediately. I don't think he finished his sleep. He's like, hey, get up. Paul, are you kidding? We just finally put our head down. Immediately, we are going. What is that? Walking circumspectly. When God says, be quiet, I be quiet. When God says, don't move, I move. But when God says, come, I run. And I get there in his way. See then, put every effort to look, to be searching for this, to live this kind of life that you walk circumspectly, walk accurately, walk with perfection in your walk. Why? Because see, if we don't, the opposite of that is being a fool. Anyone here likes to be called a fool? It's not a cool term. Not a fool. What's a fool? Someone who's like lives life haphazardly, like, yes, sir. What's your plan? I ain't got none. I remember when I was in high school, there was this guy in band with me. This guy was an amazing saxophone player. I always wanted to play like him. We were always like, would play, and he'd always get like, we always give you like number one, number two, number three. The lower the number, you get like, you get to play whole notes, you know, like, da, da. It's like so boring. But then if you got the lead, you get the like 16th notes with the 8th notes with the, you know, all that stuff. And you do all this melody and you do the background and it's like, you know, doing all this cool stuff. He always got that because he's so good. Well, anyways, he was a year ahead of me. So finally he graduated, man. Then I'm the senior. I don't care who's better than me. I'm the senior. I'm getting number one, all right? So then I was playing. And then I went to Long Beach City College and I met this guy. He was there his second year. And I always saw him every time with a different girl playing Frisbee. You know, and then, so I was there for 3 years, and he's ahead of me by 1 year. So I finished City College after my 3 years. He was still there, 4 year. And then I went to Long Beach State. I was there for a year, but I would come visit Long Beach City because my little brother was in Long Beach City. I'd still see him throwing Frisbee to a different girl. He's still there, 5 years at Long Beach City. And we didn't have the problems you guys have in college today where there's, you know, no classes and where you can't finish on time on purpose because you can't get the classes. No, we had surplus of everything. And I don't know what he ever did with himself. But the thing is, unwise. We are not to be foolish. We should have a plan. We should like, oh, I don't care. You know, it's like whatever. You know, I wake up and like whatever, you know, whatever. No. No, not as fools, but as wise. When we walk circumspectly, there's a description for your life. It's called, the Bible calls it wisdom, calls it a wise person. Are you wise? Well, I don't know if I'm wise. You know, I'm not kind of very philosophical. No, that's not wise. Wise meaning, are you walking circumspectly? Are you walking according to the will of God, a specific one in your life or not? That's walking circumspectly. Redeeming the time. redeeming the time, meaning buying the opportunity, taking it, grasping it as it comes, because it may never, ever come again. Redeeming the time. Why? Because the days are evil. Because the days are evil. The days are evil because they pass by and it's gone already. Like, whoa, you can't take it back. The days are evil because there is days when there is persecution. You know that we have it easy here. You know, you know that you can't like go out in Egypt and say, hey, can we have a level-headed discussion about Christianity? No. Oh yeah, let's have it in jail, or as we hang you or beat you up or something. You just can't do that, okay? It's not this easy little, you know, oh yeah, it's all cool. No. I grew up in Egypt. I got beat up, all right? I know. Here, we got it easy. You can go talk to anyone. You don't have to be scared. You can say, hey, can I share with you about Jesus Christ? The worst they can tell you is like, ha, 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 you're so dumb. You're so close-minded. You're so this. And then you say, thank you very much. Oh, that hurts your feelings, huh? It's so hard. You can say anything you want. It's a free country. It's a free country. The days are evil. It may not be a free country forever. But the thing is, there's evil days. You know, like look in chapter 6. Verse 13, therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. How much of it? The whole armor, like be like fully loaded, like you're out to go to war, and that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. There's an evil day. And having done all, to still stand. Meaning it's a tough war out there. It's really hard. It's really harsh. Do you redeem the time? Do you know that every moment that passes, if it was idle, if it was like, whatever, you can't take it back. It's gone forever. Never can get it back again. I'll share with you guys something that is kind of funny. But it talks, I think it will hit home with a lot of us. And at some point, I think all of us are guilty of it. Proverbs chapter 6, we'll go from verse 9. How long will you slumber? How long will you lay down? How long will you sleep? To who is he talking? Oh, sluggard, meaning you lazy person. How long are you going to be there in bed, man? How long? When are you going to get up? When will you rise from your sleep? When are you going to wake up? That's the question. So the person answers, says, a little sleep, just a little bit longer. I just need to rest a little bit longer. A little sleep. A little slumber. Meaning, oh, no, okay, I think I'm up, but I just like, I need like a little zonk, a little bit, you know? I need like, just snooze, okay? Just a little snooze. Let me just, a little slumber. So it goes from a little sleep to a little slumber, and then a little folding of the hands. What are you? No, I'm up now. I'm not. I don't need it, but I just need to fold my hands for a little bit, okay? A little folding of the hands. A little folding of the hands to sleep. Then what happens? So shall your poverty come on you like a prowler. Meaning you've never done anything in your life. You can't even get a job. Your poverty is going to come to you like a prowler. Going to come and prey on you. Your poverty. And what else? And your need like an armed man. Like someone is arrest. Your need is arresting you like an armed man. Back to our verse, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 16, redeeming the time. We have to take every opportunity to redeem the time. We can't waste time. We have to be wise in what we do. You know, in Galatians 6, verse 10, it says, therefore, as we have opportunity, meaning redeem the time, if you have an opportunity, what? Let us do good to all. How many people should we do good to? Is there exceptions? What if someone you don't dig, huh? No, do good to all. Do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. What's that? The believers. Meaning, to all, meaning believers and unbelievers, Christians and unchristians. You do good to all. And that every opportunity you have. But when it comes to Christians, do it especially, meaning with a cherry on top. Do it extra from your heart. And so redeeming the time, because the days are evil. The days are evil. There is eternity. Eternity is coming. I'll give you guys a quick mathematical challenge. If you sleep 8 hours a day, and if you do, tell me because I'm jealous. If you sleep 8 hours a day and you live to be 60, I hope you live a lot longer, okay? But I'm just for easy math because I'm not very bright. If you live to be 60, how much of your time did you spend sleeping? How many, huh? A lot. But it's only 8 hours of sleep, seriously? 20 years. You've spent 20 years of your 60-year life asleep if you slept 8 hours. Anyone sleeps more than 8 hours, don't raise your hand. That's more than 20 years. So, but can you believe that? The days are evil. A third of your life is gone in sleep. It's good to sleep. I'm not telling you not to. But that's a third. You've only got two-thirds left. And part of that, what? You got to eat. You know, that's like normal stuff. You got to, you know, go to the restroom. You got to go to school and whatever. That's another 10 years right there, at least. Such little time left. And then people say, summer break comes. Before summer breaks comes, what does every student say? College or high school or junior? I can't wait till summer. Summer comes, I'm bored. Really? I got nothing to do. Really? You got nothing to do. Redeeming the time for the... I think Paul would like pull his hair out if he had any. I don't know if he was bald. And he probably was bald from all the stress of all the churches that he had to deal with. But redeeming the time, for because the days are evil. Every moment that's passed that we wasted on whatever... Whatever it is that, oh yeah, you know, I had a little marathon. What kind of marathon? I don't know. A movie marathon. I watched every Spider-Man, 1, 2, 3, or however many they have out there. Really? All in one day? Wow. How many hours is that? But I memorize it, man. I go like this all the time. Really? Redeeming the time because the days are evil. What are we going to answer when we stand in front of God? It was cool, man. I got cramps from going like this. No. We're going to meet the Lord, man. Redeeming the time for the days are evil. Therefore, the conclusion, do not be unwise. Don't be unwise. Calculate it right. And here the English is very nice, because in Arabic it uses, for those of you who speak Arabic, it uses the word غبي, أغبياء, which is like dumb or, you know, stupid. That's the word. Don't be unwise. Well, what makes me unwise? Well, if I don't walk circumspectly, if I don't take my life with God seriously, that I need to walk in step with Him, take every move I make in you. You make me move. It's a song. We sing it. We like it. But do we do it? I make in you, Jesus, you make me move. Are we redeeming the time, or do we just like, hey, I like to kill time? Kill time, that's not a Christian talking, okay? Kill time, seriously? Kill time? Redeeming the time because the days are evil. But then he says here another thing about unwise, but understanding. Understanding what? What the will of the Lord is. You mean that strong word in Arabic that's used in a nice way in English as unwise would apply to me if I don't understand the will of God? It's in that verse, yes. What? But I want you to know there's a huge difference between knowing the will of God and understanding the will of God. What's the difference? Or is it the same thing? You can't say the same thing because I said there's a big difference, so you're supposed to go along with me. But what's the difference? My brother has this saying that he likes to quote in Arabic. It doesn't come out very well in English, but I'll say it in Arabic first. Hafiz mish fahim, which means memorizes but has no understanding. Meaning, have you ever seen people that are just textbook smart, like just straight out nerds, memorize really well, but after the test they have no idea what they talked about, what anything is, but they just catch phrases and whatever, and they're like, You know, I have some colleagues in medicine that, you know, it's like, there's other ways to look at it. It's not, you got to understand the physiology, you know. It doesn't always work like the textbook. But people who memorize or just know but don't have an understanding behind it, they get into trouble. You know, it's like, for example, some people say, I know the multiplication table. Well, do you understand the multiplication table? What's there to understand? No, it is. So, you know, I know that 3 times 5 is 15. Well, did you know that the understanding of it is that 3 times 5 is really the same as 5 plus 5 plus 5? Then you get it. Then if you get in trouble and you don't know what it is, just keep adding, but just don't do a big number. You know, like 102 times 103. That's a very hard one to do, except for Josh. He could do it. I know. But see, understanding. Here he says, you have to have understanding. I don't want you to know the will of God. I want you to have understanding of the will of the Lord. Therefore, do not be unwise. Don't be dumb. But understand, have an understanding what the will of the Lord is. It's good to know what God wants, but do you have a grasping of it? Of what he really wants and what he desires? Or just like, oh, I just know that I'm supposed to get from here to there. That's good. That's a big start. But how about if I have understanding of it? He says, I don't want you to know it. I want you to understand it. What does understanding mean? It means using this thing right here. Use the mind to understand. It requires searching. It requires looking and digging into the Word of God. It requires comparing spiritual with spiritual and not just like, oh yeah, and no. It requires using the mind, and then we can get to something called the will of God, but not just knowing it, but understanding it. Romans 12, I'm going to have to be quick, but I really want to finish this verse, 1 through 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, we're going to have to go through this verse quickly, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. I want you to present it, meaning you're doing it. He's not making you do it. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable. Your body's got to be not just living sacrifice, but holy. Got to have to be acceptable to God, not acceptable to man, but according to God and his standards, which is your reasonable service. Reasonable service is this mind, meaning when you serve him, it's not this like, ooh. A lot of times we think, oh Lord, I want to know what your will in my life. And people write books about it and they think this mystical thing is supposed to happen like, as if like it's a possession. It's not. It's not. Most of it, it's a step by step that God does to us in our life. Sometimes he may reveal it like he did with Paul in that dream. The guy from Macedonia pleaded with him, said, come, please. But did he know all the details? No, he went over there. You know, if you read that chapter, all he saw was a bunch of women. Nothing wrong with women, but he did not see a man. He saw a man saying, help me. And he goes over there. He's like, he goes to a meeting. Where do you guys have a meeting? We don't really have one. Well, there's kind of this thing by the lake or the river or whatever it is. And then he goes over there. And it's like, they're all women. So he has a Bible study with them. And so he brings Lydia to Christ. And then he keeps going. It's only women. He's like, what's up with this? Where's the men? And he keeps reaching out to them. And then this crazy woman, demon-possessed, comes up to him and says, oh, these are the men of God. These are the men. And he gets so annoyed and he looks at him, not at her, at the spirit in her. And he rebukes him, says, get out of her. He casts out the demon. Oh, her owner is like, our money's gone. Like, do something. Like, I can't. I'm not possessed anymore. They're like, beat him. He gets a beating, and then that man, he sees him. And then that man that beats him up, locks him up in the inner jail, he's the one that's pleading with him, and he comes to know Jesus as Savior. reasonable service and do not be conformed to this world. Do not be conformed to this world. I shared it with you guys many times. It means don't let the pressures of this world shape you and press you like you can press a metal in a car accident and shape it like that thing. Don't be shaped, no matter how much pressure it is. It's like pressed on every side, like it says in Corinthians, but not crushed. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Transformed is a change that happens different than conforming. It happens from the inside, the outside. It's the same word that's used by Jesus Christ when he was transfigured in the Mount of Transfiguration, where he says, I'm going to let you see who I am, that I am really God. I've been hiding it from everyone, but you three, I'm going to let you see it. And then he comes and he becomes so shiny and so white in front of everyone, his clothing. And so I want that to happen to you, to be transformed from the inside. Well, how does that happen? By the renewing of your mind. Your mind has got to be renewed. What does that mean? It means stop thinking like the world. Start thinking like Jesus. Start having his mindset. Start thinking along his mind thought. But be renewed in your mind. Why? What's going to happen when my mind is renewed? This transformation, which happens by the renewing of the mind, that you may prove or experience what? What is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God? You're going to accept. You're going to be like, the mind is clean. I'm thinking like Jesus. Wait, I see his will in my life. And his will in your life may be like Paul's will. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. Imagine you're like, oh, finally, renewing of the mind. And then this comes as a shocker. Hey, brother, I will show you, or sister, I will show you how much you must suffer in my name's sake. Sweet. Can I unrenew my mind? You know, that's what we would say. But see here, what it says is that when that perfect will, I get it because my mind is renewed, I look at it differently. No matter how hard it is, I find that it's good, it's acceptable, and it's perfect. Good, acceptable, perfect will of God. Well, Lord, I don't want to be unwise. Okay. James says in James 1:5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. It's okay. Just don't confess to people. You don't have to say, hey guys, I'm unwise. No. Just go to God. Go ask of God. Let him ask of God who gives to all. He's not going to hold out on you, okay? He gives to all. There's no exceptions. There's not a person he doesn't give. And he gives liberally. He's so generous, man. He has a hole in his pocket when he gives wisdom. And without reproach, he just keeps giving it and pouring it out. And it will be given to him. Oh, I asked for wisdom before, but it didn't happen. Well, look at the next verse. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting. We don't have faith. We don't believe it would happen. And we doubt. So we can accept, we can understand that will of God. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, it says, for we are his workmanship, meaning you as a believer, you're his masterpiece. Workmanship created in Christ Jesus. You are a new creation when you become in him. You're no longer the same old person. For good works. He created you so you can do good works. So not any works, but they're good works, which God prepared beforehand. Meaning these works he has prepared for you specifically before you were even born. Prepared before, and that's his will, that we should walk in them. Walk what? Circumspectly and exactly in his will that he has drawn. Don't go zigzag. Don't do like the Israelites. Dude, that's the same rock. No. Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. I don't stop praying. And not just me, all those who are with me. for you and to ask that you may be filled. What do you want him to be filled with? With the knowledge of his will. Not my will, but his will. His will in all wisdom. Will and wisdom have to come together, okay? It always says wisdom, unwise, they always come together. When all wisdom, not some wisdom, but all wisdom, and spiritual, what? Not knowledge, but understanding. So to know his will, that we may know his will, and in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk. Why do you want me to know God's will in my life? Well, because when you know God's will in your life, here's what happened. That you, verse 10, that you may walk worthy of the Lord. The reason you and I don't walk worthy of the Lord, because we don't walk in his will. The reason we don't walk in his will, because we don't know his will. That you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him. Is that our life's desire, to please the Lord fully? Pleasing him. Being fruitful in every good work. Not some, but every good work. We're being fruitful. And increasing in the knowledge of God. Don't ever say, now I know enough. No, increase in the knowledge of God. How do I know the will of God? Again, it's not some mystical little experience thing that someone describes. No. To know the will of God requires, first, that I get deep in the Word of God. I study. It requires the mind, the understanding to understand it. So I need to read His Word to know what His Word says. So I need to read His Word. Do you read His Word or not? Well, sometimes. No, it's not acceptable. Do you read His Word to read to understand or read to read? Read to understand. To read His Word requires His Word. That's number one criteria. Number two criteria requires the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit requires us to be filled by Him, which we'll talk about next week. What that means, to be filled by Him, and how that happens. But to be filled with the Holy Spirit, that we can, now we can finally get the Word, get the Holy Spirit. Now we can know His specific will in my life. And then with that comes circumstances. They come in the way and then they shape it. Just like Paul, he had the wisdom, he had the Holy Spirit. He made a plan A to go to Corinth. God says, nope, changed it to plan B. What is that circumstance? He says, no, Lord, okay, well, this is what I thought and I felt, but I need to change it. And he's flexible. Went to plan B, he changed it to plan C. He had a multiple plan A, B through Z to get to Rome. And then finally he says, I'm going to get to you by way of Spain. And there's no proof that he ever made it to Spain. That's what, how to know the will of God in my life is to read the Word, be filled with the Holy Spirit, and allow him, the Word and the Holy Spirit, through the circumstances that God allows in our lives, to the worst circumstances in the Word of God. I'll show you, Romans 8:28. That all things, therefore all things, that's circumstances, work together for the good. Not all things are good. No, there could be bad things. But all of them, you put them in a mixture and you go, comes out good. Work together for the good to those who love the Lord, to those who are called according to His, to those who are according to His calling. But what do? We are nothing but people who are victims of circumstances. Oh, stop. I have it so hard, man. Why? What's wrong with your life? I'm taking 4 glasses.
Really? You took the 4 glasses. You didn't have to.
It's so hard, man. They raised tuition.
That's hard? When Paul's getting beat up? Oh, guys. Lord, help us to walk circumspectly. It's the last frontier to having a pure life with ourselves. Lord, I don't want to go right. I don't want to go left. I want to go right for you in your way. I love in the Old Testament, Moses, more than once, he comes to a nation. He says, excuse me, my brother. They're through related through Esau and them. He says, I want to pass through your land. I won't go left. I won't go right. And if we happen
to get any water or anything, we're going to pay for it. Nope. Okay, fine. We won't get water. We're just going to go straight. I won't look out right. I won't look left. I just want to pass. It's an easier path. Nope. They come out to war against them. Walk circumspectly. Walk accurately. It makes a difference. It makes a difference on who is going to be on the different rewards we're going to get in heaven. It makes a huge difference. You know, God, if you look at the parables of the rewards, the different ones with the talents and things like that, you know, one of them, the Lord gave each one a talent. One buried it, one earned 5, one earned 10. There's another one where he gave 1 5, 1 2, and 1 1. The one who had 1 buried it. The one who had 2 earned 100%. He earned 2 more. The one who had 5 earned 100% and earned 5 more. When the Lord came to address the one who earned 100% of the 5 more, he says, "Well done, good and faithful servant." When he came to the guy who earned the 2, he said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Why? Because they were both very faithful in what they've gotten. He gave them the same words because they worked 100%. But when it came to that extra one where he doesn't know what to do with it, who did he give it to? The one with the 10. There, he has more. He says, he who has more will be given even more. Meaning if God gives you a lot of revelation, responsibility is on, it's even more. That's why a smaller sin, like for Moses, was enough to kill him when all he had to do was hit in a little rock. Seriously? Yes, seriously. But see, in the other one, he gave each one a talent. The one who made 10, he says, "Well done, good and faithful servant." The one who got 5, he says, "Well done." He didn't say good and faithful. God is accurate. Are you and I accurate in the way we walk? Do we take it seriously? Do we calculate it right? Do we redeem the time because the days are evil? Are we unwise, or do we understand his will in our lives? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time. And we thank you for revealing to us your heart's desire toward us is to live a pure life. And we thank you that when you came to set the bar for what kind of life you expect out of us, you set it so high. Lord, we feel so unworthy that you would view us as children like that. Because, Lord, when we look at our lives, we see it nothing but a mess. But we thank you that in you we can live this life of victory and this life that is pleasing to you. Lord, we pray that you would help us walk a walk that's accurate, that's precise, that's right on for you, Lord. Help us to redeem the time to realize that every moment we need to just seize it while it's there, because the days are evil. Lord, life is short. Lord, we pray that you would help us to put every effort to not just know, but to also understand your will in our lives, that we may be satisfying to you. Help us fall in love with your word and study it and eat it and search it. Help us desire the filling of your spirit. And we pray, Lord, that you would help us that circumstances don't bend us or conform us, but that we see them through your light to realize that they are at work together for the good, that we may rejoice and change as you change our plan as we walk. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.